Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you for revealing your kingdom, for showing us, revealing in us your ways, your word, your will, your purpose, your plans, your pursuits. For your plan is the plan. Your way is the way. Your purpose is the purpose. And when we get in that, it's already blessed. We praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's look tonight at the ministry of Jesus. It's always refreshing. It's always enlightening to watch from the Word Jesus living and doing the things that we're talking about. Watch him make choices. See how he conducted his life. Because I'm telling you now, it's startling when we realize it, but nonetheless, it is true. It is more true than even you can imagine that Jesus emptied himself of his divine privileges and came as a man doing those things that men were created to do in the earth as a pattern for all men for all time. And he did not do anything. He didn't receive anything from God because he was sinless. He didn't receive anything from God because he was the Son of God. No, he walked and lived by faith. Faith was his connection. And the anointing that removes burdens and destroys yokes, it was the anointing that was doing the miraculous and so forth. And that anointing is part of the blessing. The blessing is the key to everything in the Bible. God created man, male and female created he them, and said, man, be in our likeness, have dominion over the earth and subdue it. And then he blessed them. That's big. That blessing is the very same power with which he created all of the material universe. And he blessed them saying, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion over the earth. Everything that flies, swims, and crawls. That was his job. To bless. Now that was the final work. The creation of man was not the final work. The blessing of man was the final work. And then he rested. He didn't rest because he's tired. He rested because he's finished. But when man blew that blessing off and Satan got hold of it, and when he got hold of it, it twisted 180 degrees and became the curse. God was no longer retired. He came immediately out of retirement, went back to work, moving and arranging to get his word back in the earth. Amen. And he continued to do that. And he did it, and he did it, and he did it until the perfect picture of the perfect man was once again in the earth, embodied in the word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And his name is Jesus. Unattached to the kingdom of darkness. Amen. And his attachment to the kingdom of darkness was a surrender and sacrifice so that we could be set free from it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And for us to say, oh, we could never be like that, not only is it a lie, it's an insult to the blood. Well, you see, there could never be another one like Jesus. Well, and what was the use of him going to the cross? There ain't never going to be another one like him. That's why he went. So there could be many sons come to glory and in the eyes of God be just like him. Hallelujah. That's the way he sees you. Because he is well able to handle your faults and shortcomings. Praise God. Amen. If you'd quit trying to handle them and turn them over to him, you'd be a whole lot better off. Because you ain't qualified. You understand? But in him, you're qualified to walk as Jesus walked. Talk as he talked. And expect the same anointing. Hallelujah. Now then, let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 11. And let's look at the 11th verse. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Now, wait a minute. He spent all day there. And it's almost like they didn't even know he was there. Amen? I don't think they did. Now, you know good and well they were acting just as ugly on that day as they're going to be acting the next day when he got there. But why didn't he do something? Why didn't he tear the place up, turn their tables over that day instead of waiting until tomorrow? Why didn't he say something? He didn't hear his father say anything, so he didn't say anything. He didn't see his father do anything, so he didn't do anything. And this is the first step of faith. The doing and the saying is not the first step of faith. The first step of faith is the observation in the presence of God and waiting until you hear from heaven. Wisdom is the principal thing, not a principal thing. Scripture said it is the principal thing. And we've got a long track record of just knee-jerking one scripture right after another, screaming and hollering, going on, binding, loosing everything you can see and think of. But this is the first step. To be quiet, observe, and listen. Amen. So he leaves, spent all day there. And he goes back to Bethany. Now, what do you suppose he did all night? Duh. He did what you and I should be doing. Spent time in prayer. Amen. Listen to the Father. See what the mission is. Do you remember what God said to Abraham when he said, I want you to leave your home country. I want you to leave your kinfolks. And there's a country that I want you to go to, and I will show you. Now why did he need him to leave? Don't complicate this. He's in the wrong place. You can just get real spiritual and just blow the whole thing if you want to. And all of those are parts of it. But he's in the wrong place. I want you to move. Well, where am I going? I'll show you. Come go with me. Now, the big thing is there, I will show you. I have a place for you, and I will show you. Don't get the idea that you're going to have to go storming off on these missions by yourself. No, no, that's what you've already been doing. Now just settle it right now that I'm placing myself in the hands of Jesus, and I am choosing Him, I'm choosing His Word, and I'm listening, and I'm going to take the time, and just hold your place there and go with the Gospel of John, 16th chapter. You're going to learn this verse. I'm going to feed it to you until you learn it. 16th chapter of John, 13th verse. Are you there? All right. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come. Well, has He come?
Yes,
yes He has. He will. Say, He will.
He will
guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He will show you things to come. Say, He will.
He will.
He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and He shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore said I, He shall take of Mine, and He shall show it to you. There's not anything in there about He might. It said He will. So begin to expect that. But now, listen. When the Spirit of truth is come, He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He hears, that shall He also speak. Now, let me ask you something. Is Jesus your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
Then He is responsible for your welfare and future.
Yes.
He is not an absentee Lord. God is not an absentee Father. He's talking to you all the time.
Amen.
It's not a matter of His not speaking. It's a matter of us not hearing. He woke me up about 4 o'clock in the morning here some months back. I just woke up right, just startled awake and just agitated. And I knew, whoa, something's going on. So I slipped out of bed and went in my study and just began to pray, Lord, what is it? What is it, Lord? And I was just being agitated. And I said, Lord, You're trying to get something over to me, and I make myself available to You. I open my heart for You to judge. And what is it? When He turned me over here to this scripture that I just read, and I didn't hear this. It didn't come as the word of the Lord. It came as a knowing. I turned over there to that scripture, 16th chapter of John, and I saw that there. He'll guide you into all the truth. He'll not speak of Himself. Whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. Whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He came. He is hearing, He is guiding, He is speaking. He doesn't have a hearing problem. I'm the one with the hearing problem. And I caught it. The Lord had been trying to say some things to me, and I wasn't listening. And He finally had to startle me awake. I didn't realize that I was just going on, you know, and busy and all that. I didn't realize that there was something here I was missing. But I have a working agreement with the Lord. And so I went in there and I said, Lord, the Holy Spirit doesn't have a hearing problem. I'm the one with a hearing problem. And I open my ears right now. I flush my ears out. I have ears to hear. I flipped over there to scripture where in the book of Matthew where Jesus said, your ears are blessed and your eyes are blessed. And I said, my ears are blessed to hear and my eyes are blessed to see. And I hear, I say, I see, I do. Amen. Now, I said, I repent for not hearing You. And if I have aught against any, I repent right now. I cleanse my spirit. I receive my cleansing. You're just and righteous to forgive me and to cleanse me. That quick, He began to talk to me. And I heard the things that he was saying. And there was some shift in direction that was going on. But most of it had to do with our nation and the direction that it's taking, and where this ministry was responsible for certain things that we were to pray to do and so forth and so on. And I mean, it started changing anything. I mean, everything. And then God started talking to me that very morning about the President of the United States. And he began to talk to me about the situation that the political things that are happening all over the world. Well, see, I'm not political minded. And so I wasn't hearing these things. And he had to arrest me and sit me down in there to be able to talk to me about it, because there was certain prayer regimen that he wanted done here. And there were some things that he needed to say to us that had to do with the direction that the leadership of the nation was taking, and some things that were going on and so forth. Well, it changed my whole outlook and changed a lot of this ministry where those things are concerned. And now there's a lot of things going on politically that just look disastrous from, you know, from your and my point of view. Because you'd think anybody, you'd think anybody in his right mind would have better sense than to do some of the things that those people are doing. But you don't understand the kind of spiritual forces they're up against. You can be a natural man, but still be an honest man and a good man and get elected to office, go to Washington, D.C. and turn into an absolute jerk overnight. Because listen, there are some demons up there that the rest of the world don't know nothing about. And I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the high-ranking evil spirits that are there trying to drive this thing in Satan's direction. Well, I got news for them. You can send their saddle home. But I needed to know some of those things. And now I have certain understandings about it. I see certain things happening. And I've had Gloria say to me any number of times since then, she said, I am so glad we heard those things from the Lord. Because she said, knowing what we know now, what we're seeing in this situation or whatever it was, it doesn't hit us so hard, because we now have information and we know what's going on behind the scenes in the realm of the Spirit. Makes all the difference in the world. And I can tell you this, if you insist on walking in love and walking by faith, everything's going to be all right. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Now, so what did he do? He just went back to Bethany and had supper and went to bed. Isn't that good? I doubt if he slept much. He's just resting in the Father, to see what the Father says and to see what the Father does. So the next day, on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree far off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. He came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Jesus answered that tree. So the tree must have said something. Now, I want you to notice the fig tree was afar off. Well, how far is afar? Well, I don't know. It was afar off. And he came to it. It must have been off of the road a ways. Well, his staff members are still standing there on the pathway or the roadway or wherever they were walking, going back to Jerusalem, between Bethany and Jerusalem. He left their company and walked over to that tree. He must have been far enough away that he couldn't see from there that it didn't have any figs on it. So we know it's at least that far. And he walked over there and he answered the tree. The tree said, "You're not getting anything here today." Now, I don't know what else the tree and the devil and everybody else around there said, but he answered the whole deal. Now, listen to what he did. I want you to now watch him now. He's got a mission. He's on that mission. He knows where he's going. He spent the night listening to the Father. He spent the night in his spirit receiving the plan of God, the will of God, to know exactly what the mission is, and he's headed to Jerusalem. Now he walks over to there to that tree. Now I want you to notice, he spoke the desired end results. Now here's where faith comes in when you choose life. When you choose blessing, when you choose the Word of God. Faith comes in when you expect that choice to pay off in blessing.
Yes.
Every prayer you pray should be answered in full.
Amen.
Not ever while carrying on that you do. I said every prayer you pray. Every one of them. And it will be if you follow Jesus' pattern. But if you're praying about something and you don't know the plan, the faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't have any strong faith about something and you're still wondering whether it's God's will or not. And you hear religious ideas or something, it's not God's will to heal you at this time. It's very difficult for you to have any faith. In fact, you can't. Why? Your house is divided and it's going to fall. But when you go to God's Word and you choose His Word, and His Word is His will, He doesn't will one thing and say another. And His Word is His will for all men for all time. There is no special incident where the Word doesn't work. In this special case, you ain't that special. I don't want to be that special to you. No, that's foolishness. Amen. So, he walks over there to that tree, and I want you to notice what he did. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 words. And his disciples heard it. 9 words. That's all he said. No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. Now notice, and they come to Jerusalem. So he said that to that tree. And his disciples heard it. So he wasn't whispering mealy mouth around at that tree. He spoke 9 words to it. Turned around. Now the moment he turned around to go back where they were and go on to Jerusalem, that tree is history. It's behind him. He's made the first step of faith. That tree's over. That whole incident is over in his mind. No man will ever eat fruit of that tree again forever. It don't make any difference whether the tree dies, burns down, gets dug up, or some animal comes along and eats the thing. It don't make any difference to him, but there's not anybody going to eat anything off of it forever. That's over. Faith has been released, and as far as he's concerned, the first step he took, that tree's history, and it's in his background, and he's going to Jerusalem. Amen. Now, this has been our pattern. Tree, now you listen to me. I'm talking to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. I happen to be a child of the living God. I'm speaking to you according to Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and 25. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you die. Every leaf on you die. All your roots die. And oh man, may the heavens open up and hailstorms come and beat all your limbs off. And you die in the name of Jesus. You hear me? In the name of Jesus. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, yes, amen. I do not doubt in my heart. I believe that those things which I say shall come to pass. Now, wait a minute. Jesus said right there in the book of Matthew, he said, don't be like the other folks that think they're going to be heard for their much saying. He said, those are vain repetitions. Vain means worthless. Talking until you feel like something has happened. Well, something has. And it's not going to have anything to do with that tree. You've talked yourself out of your faith instead of into your faith. And the thing that's happened here, when you make that choice, then that's when you have to believe in your heart that what God said is coming to pass, and it don't take a whole bunch of words to do it. In this case, it only took 9 words. Now, notice this. Let's follow him. And they come to Jerusalem. Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Aha! Sometime between yesterday and today, the plan was revealed to him. Now, the mission was not turning over tables. Now, come on, now stay with me here. Now, notice this. Would not suffer any man that he should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught. This was a teaching mission, not just a table turning over mission. Huh? Look at this. And he taught, saying, this was his text, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. Now, he taught on that scripture. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, hey, he taught all day long. That was the mission, was the teaching. You follow me? He knew his message. He knew his mission. He knew what he had heard God say from the Word. He used that Word as a text, and he preached on it all day. All day. Now, he gets through, and he went out of the city. Well, now, how long has that been? That's been something like about 12 hours since they came by that tree, because now it's evening. It was morning when he came by there and spoke to the thing. But they walked back by there in the morning as they passed by. Now, when they went back home, going back towards Bethany, nobody mentioned that tree. I guarantee you, Jesus, he forgot about that tree. He spoke to the thing. That's history, brother. That tree is in the past. Don't mean a thing in the world to him anymore. Not even worth looking over there at it. But now you know Peter as well as I do. If there had been anything visible about that tree, you know good and well he checked it out. I don't know, but what maybe they might have snuck over there and looked at it a little bit, you know, just to see. Not Jesus. He never brought it up, never said a thing about it, never would have unless they'd brought it up in the morning. So in the morning now, somewhere between 12 and 24 hours, this thing struck the roots of the tree. It dried up from the roots. Well, by the next morning, you could see from the outside of the tree that it had died. Now, that tree was doomed the night before. Faith was working in and around that tree for the whole 24-hour period, but you couldn't see it the first 12 hours or so. But Jesus didn't go check on it and see. He said 9 words to it. He said the word of God to it and turned around and walked off. And that's where faith comes in. What I said is coming to pass. That's faith. Faith in what? Me? No, faith in the word. And in the ministry of Jesus, because he is the high priest of our confession. And when we listen to hear his words, when we know from him what to say to the tree, then it is, as far as the tree is concerned, the same as if Jesus said it. The tree don't know the difference, and neither do the angels that back it. Amen. And neither do the devils that are trying to keep it from coming back. Because he's the high priest of our confession. And we are partakers of his calling. Yes. Amen. Amen. He's the big priest. We're the little priest. We speak his words. Don't add to them. Don't take away from them. Now, they said, Peter said, Master, look at the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Now, Jesus did not say, now boys, now listen to me here now a minute. I need to talk to you about this. Now you understand I'm the Son of God and I can do things like this, but now I don't want y'all trying this. Now I don't want you to be out talking to trees, man. You try this kind of stuff, you're going to fall flat of your face and you're going to bring a bad name on the ministry. You just don't need to be doing this now. If there's going to be trees to be talked to, you come to me and you know, I'll take care of the tree talking and the healing and all that. That ain't what he said. I've had people talk to me like that. Well, now you just need to tone it down here a little bit. You're going to give the ministry a bad name. Because I'm doing my best to act like Jesus. Yeah, you don't need to be doing that now. Get out of my face. I ain't got time for that. I was a failure when I got here. You understand? I don't need to be failing again. The Apostle Paul said, if I was doing this to please men, I could have just stayed like I was. No. Listen to what he said. Jesus said, have faith in God. Whoa. Have faith in God. Yeah, but Lord, the economy, have faith in God. Yeah, but my family, have faith in God.
Amen.
Amen. And then he said, you'll not only do what was done to this fig tree, but if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it should obey you. What should? Your faith. And consequently, when your faith obeys you, so does the mountain. Hallelujah. Now, look right back here. Verse 23. I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 words. No more, no less. You don't need to stand there 30 minutes hollering at that mountain. And then, you know, and then go to the internet and see if you can find somebody with a bulldozer to help you move. So in other words, he's literally saying, you need to be doing what I did. Not you can't do what I did. You need to be doing what I did. Because what I did with faith in God. I didn't do it because I'm the Son of God. I did it with faith in God. Amen. And then he went ahead, of course, to explain that. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Now, if you're not willing to do that, you can forget the other. Because this is part of it. When you stand praying. Oh, Brother Copeland, I've been trying to forgive these folks for 2 years. You can't stand for 2 years. It says when you stand praying. It don't take 2 years. If it takes 2 minutes, it'd be too long. You use the same principles that he demonstrated there. You have faith in God. When you stand praying, if you have aught against any. Father, if I have aught against any, it's not my will. I forgive them now. Thank you, sir. Amen. Say it with your mouth. I forgive. And then believe the forgiveness has occurred. That's having faith in God. And you speak to the tree, you speak to the disease, you speak to the sickness, turn your back, take the first step of faith and continue on the mission. That thing is history. That situation is history. Praise God. I ain't got time to wallow around in that thing. Make the faith command and go on with the mission.
That's right.
But now to do that, you're going to have to know what the mission is.
Amen.
And you may find out enough to last the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow, take care of yourself.
Amen.
He's got that all worked out. You don't need this big, elaborate 16-month plan. 16 minutes sometimes all you need. But just keep on the move. Keep going right straight towards God. Keep walking right straight towards that mission, right straight to it all the time. The devil gets in the way, knock him smooth on his back. I had a man call me one time and he said, Brother Coleman, I need your help desperately. I said, what can I do for you, Pastor? He said, my wife in her life from time to time has had seizures. And he said, she was out in the front yard of our home and she had a seizure and some of her neighbors called and had them come pick her up and they put her in the city county Section 8 ward. The insane ward. I mean, they just put her away. He said, Brother Kelly, I don't know how to get her out. Can you help me? I said, yeah. So we prayed together. And I began to listen to the Lord. I said, Lord, what to do here? He said, go down there and get her out. I mean, it's just that plain. Well, I don't know how to do that. I knew where it was. But he said, go down there and get her out. Well, that's my mission. I don't need to know anything else. Go down there, get her out. So I said, okay. And I just headed downtown to the city county hospital. And it got down there. I wasn't real sure where that Section 8 ward was. It's like a jail. It got big brass barred doors in front of it. Or at least it did back then. And I found out where that was and went over there. And I got over there. Now, what do you say? Go get her out. I didn't go ask. That's not what he said. He didn't say, go ask them if they'll release her. No, he said, go get her out. Now, I wouldn't have been able to be that bold had I not known what he said. You're going to have to take the time to listen.
Yes.
And let him help you develop these, your spiritual ears, where you hear in here. This is where he talked. For a long time, I spent my time in prayer with my hand right here over my bosom, right in this part. This is where your spirit is. This is where you hear things in the spirit. Did you ever, in your times past, did you ever just get a knowing or just what the world calls a hunch about something? Did you notice it never did come up here in your head? It was always in your gut. Somebody said, I'm just following my gut. Well, I found out a long time ago, my gut don't know much, but the Holy Ghost does. And the reason people say that, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, because it's in your core. In here, the reason it's called your heart, it ain't talking about your physical blood pump. That's a physical organ. You can't believe God with that anymore than you could your ear, your nose, or your big toe. Not talking about your blood pump. It's talking about the core of your being, the heart of man, the spirit of man that's like God, the part of you that got born again, the everlasting part of you. Amen. And you need to find out and get in touch with that. Spend time at it, being quiet, and listen. Say, Lord, help me with this. Help me hear this. I need to know your voice. And just be quiet and listen. One of the quickest ways through is to say, Lord, I love you. If you'll listen, you'll hear it. I love you too, Kenna. Oh, the first time I heard it, I tell you, the hair on the back of my neck stuck right straight up. But I realized, you know, I've been hearing that all the time. I just didn't recognize what was going on. And that's the reason it was called the still, small voice. The reason it was still and small is because you ain't ever heard it before. But it don't stay still and small. It gets bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger. Amen. And you get to where you recognize his voice and he can get through to you. But you have to incline your ear to him, and you have to remember when he tells you to do something, you're going to have to agree to do it. And say, Lord, I'll do that. I'm asking you to show me and reveal to me how in your wisdom and so forth, but I'll do it. You know, I'm yours to command. Amen. And that's the way you learn and train in these things. Well, I got down there. And there was a policeman standing there in front of that big gate. And the anointing had been growing on me all the way down there. And I knew my mission, go in there and get her out. And so I walked up to him and he said, may I help you? I said, yes, sir, open the door. He just turned around, opened the door, and then I walked. I noticed he shut it behind me. Well, you can't let that bother you. And when I walked in there, I want you to know the hall, big wide hallway. It was wide as this from the front part of the platform there up to the front of the chairs. It was that wide going back in there about as far as me at the wall down there. It was full of people. They had all come out, and they were all out in the halls. Got a bunch of demons stirred up. You go into a place like that where they torment people, and they know who you are. Amen. They also know they have to obey you. Unless you get mealy-mouthed and start asking them. Then they laugh at you and turn around and walk off. So I started back there, and I'm telling you, the biggest human being I have ever seen in my life. Craig, big man about that high, and I would guess him at least 350 pounds, probably 6'6", 6'8", maybe. Just a huge human. Bib overalls on. That's all. Just no shirt, just no Big Smith bib overalls. And it looked like Big Smith, I'm telling you. He's standing there, mean, mad, and he's standing, and he starts walking toward me. And I started walking towards him. And I got up there within, 10, 15 feet of him. I said, get out of the way! He jumped over and he looked mean, but he backed up just close to the wall as he could get and got out of the way. Because I'm not dealing with the man, I'm dealing with the devil. I walked past them. He kind of the gatekeeper. I walked past him. There's little rooms going off to the sides then. And I heard her, Brother Copeland, is that you? Oh, Brother Copeland, Brother Copeland. And I walked in the little room there, and she was in there, and there was another lady in there with her. When I walked through the door, she just hit the floor in a hard seizure. I said, no, you don't, Satan. This is the end of this for you. In the name of Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve, you come out of her, you get off her now. It don't take a lot of talk. You don't have to stand there and go on and on and cast out into the deep and all that kind of stuff. You just make that faith command, by God, you do what I tell you to do. And I didn't say that in a form of a swearing word. I said it as the truth. By the eternal God, you get out. And she just snapped around and she just began to speak in the spirit. Oh, Brother Copeland. Oh, Brother Copeland, thank you. Oh, Brother Copeland, get me out of here. Get me out of here. I said, come on, darling, we're going home. And got her up. And this other little woman sitting over there on the bed, she said, sir, could you do that for me? I said, I certainly can. Laid hands on her, spoke the word of faith over her. She accepted Jesus as Lord and just immediately went over into the Holy Ghost, just praying in the Spirit and just going, I mean, amen. We walked out of the room. She's sitting up in her bed, just praising God and worshiping Him in the Spirit. And I just took her by the arm. I said, come on, darling, we're going home. No, we didn't go to the checkout counter. And Big Smith started off of the wall. I said, get. And he just backed up, walked up to the gate. The officer was standing there. I said, open the door, sir. He slid the door open. She and I walked out and got in the car and I took her home. Don't go off down there without your mission. You begin to try to manipulate the world system, they'll manipulate you right out the front door. You still be down there trying to figure out your insurance policy. But when God says, go get her out, go get her out. Find out the mission. Don't look to the right hand or to the left. Any obstacle comes along, you speak the word of faith, but you listen. And He'll tell you what to say, and He'll show you what to do. Now, I preached this message, just finished. It was a morning service. We were in a meeting with Chaplain Colonel Al Downing, and we in the word explosion for the military that we have, and we've had the last several years, every year. And this last one last year, we just finished. This was the final service that morning, and then when the meeting ended, and I closed it with this right here. And I walked out and got in the car. We're headed to the airport going home. Well, I got in the car, and Brother Mike Leeper was driving me. He said, I'm not going to take you to the airport. I'm going to take you back to the hotel. I said, why? We're going on. No, he said, I just talked to Dwayne. They can't get the door open on the airplane. And he said, he's working with Cessna and then they want me to take you back to the hotel. I said, Mike, don't take me to the hotel. Take me to the airport. I want to get my hands on that airplane. He said, oh, yeah. And he looked at me and he told me later, he said, I ain't never doing that again. And I just laid my head back. He turned the car around. We headed back to the airport. I just laid my head back on the seat. I said, Lord. I called Dwayne, our head of aviation. I called him. I said, Dwayne, what's going on with your door? He said, Brother Kendall, I don't know. He said, the thing, it unlocks properly. You can turn the handle. But he said, it'll move just ever so small a bit. He said, not even enough. You can't even get your fingers in behind it. And it just stops there and I can't get it open. I said, what did Cessna say about it? Well, and they're talking about wanting to send over a team of mechanics, and they're going to come over and drill a hole in the door. No, you're not drilling a hole in the door. That's citation 10. Ha, you kidding me? Not hardly. That ain't going to happen now. And I said, I'm on my way out there. I'll be there in a few minutes, and we'll pray over it. He said, okay. And I just laid my head back on the seat there. I said, Lord, show me what to say to that door. Now, listen to this very carefully, because Jesus knows and understands a whole lot more about Scripture than you and I do. Amen. Scriptures you think you know, you find out you didn't know anything about it. When you hear him talking about it, see? And I heard this here again, right in here. You just get quiet. And like I said, for years, I just put my hand right there because it draws my attention to it. And a lot of times, I still do that. This brings my attention into here instead of out here with all this. And I heard him immediately right in here. He said, say this. Door open now. And then he said to me, now, Kenneth, you remember in my word, the scripture that says, all things work together for the good of them that love God and called according to his purpose? I said, yes, sir. When he said that, you know, I've been trained on that airplane. And part of the training had to do with that door. It's a very highly specialized door. That airplane certified to fly at 51,000 feet. I mean, the pressurization system in the thing is just awesome. And, of course, the door is a big part of it. I know what the inside of the door looks like is what I'm trying to say to you. And I could see it, you know, in my mind's eye, just suddenly I could see the parts and how they work inside that door. And all of a sudden, I caught what he was saying. I just saw all the parts in there working together for the good of me who loves God.
Oh, praise God.
I never thought about it. I've been hearing that scripture for 40 years. I didn't know it worked on doors. I've prayed that since, by the Lord's permission, about inner workings of my physical parts. I never used it on that before. Wow. Amen. That kind of makes a light go off in you thinking. Now I'm sitting there, I said, yes, sir. He said, say that to that door. Well, I didn't holler and shout and scream and go on. I said exactly what I heard him say. Very, very aware not to add anything to it. Not to, and you want to. You want to just go to hollering and doing something. If you're going to do more, then just praise. If you're going to say more than that, just praise and worship. That's more powerful anyway than all your and my going on. And I just said it. Door open now. I didn't say it anywhere near that loud. I asked Mike later if he heard me. He said, yeah, he heard me. I just said, door open now. All things work together for the good of those that love God, called according to his purpose. Thank you, Lord. That would be me. Thank you. I just give you praise. I didn't say any more. I noticed I wanted to real bad. You're in the habit of it. But the Lord had to be very specific with me. This is where faith comes in. I have faith that Jesus is doing exactly what he said he'd do. Have faith in God. Have faith that what he said, and you shall have what you say. Didn't say another word all the way to the airport. Just sat there. Telephone rang. Mike answered it, and it was Dwayne. He handed me the phone. It wasn't 5 minutes from the time I'd said it and just leaned back to be quiet on the way to the airport. Now the phone rang. And Dwayne said, Brother Kenneth, I left the airplane to drive over to the main office to pick you up when you get here. And he said, I just got in the car. He's out there trying to get that door open, you know. And he said, I got in the car to come pick you up. And he said, I thought, I'm going to try that door one more time. And he got out and walked around. It just opened up and fell right open just like it's supposed to. It is open by the time I got there. Amen. Yeah. Now, when we got the airplane home, our mechanics got in there and opened it up, checked everything out to make sure the thing was in there, was working like it was supposed to. And it was. You say, well, what was wrong with it? I don't know. It was fixed by the time we got it open. I don't know what was wrong with it. The only thing I know is it wouldn't open. Now, the next trip we took, now, there was some things in there that they readjusted and lubricated and so forth, but it wasn't anything that would keep the door from coming. And there was some places you could see where it had been hanging up a little bit. Well, they dressed all that out and got all that. But the very next trip now, we're at our place in Fort Worth, about to get in the airplane. This is three or four days later. So I'm leaving the office. I'm about halfway out there. And that door's not going to open. And I said, don't you even dare. Walked on over there to it. Dwayne reached up there to open it. And when it stuck a little bit, I said, no, you work. Boom. And it just dropped right on down there. You know what this is? Life in the faith lane. Praise God. This is the way we're supposed to be living by faith. And it's not all that wild as it has seemed to be in the past. Because we did far too many things trying to get things to work. You don't need to be trying to make the word work. You don't cause the word to work. You just believe the word. And it works. Amen. Now, I don't have time to finish this. We're out of time. But I want to show you. It doesn't end there. Most people have never finished this as it's written. Now, notice, Jesus, in the 11th verse, went into Jerusalem, went into the temple, didn't do or say anything, went back to Bethany, spent the night, went there the next day, and taught there all day long. And that night, then, he went back to Bethany. Then he came through and talked to them about how faith in God and so forth. Now, verse 27, they came again to Jerusalem. He's still on the same mission. This is another day. He was in there one day, didn't do anything. He's in there the next day and turned all their tables over, but then he taught on the house of prayer. Glory to God, all day long. They came again to Jerusalem. As he was walking in the temple, there came to him chief priests and scribes and elders. Now, hey, some of these men were there and knew him when he was 12. Because now he's somewhere about 31. That hadn't been all that many years ago, Bishop.
Right.
And some of these old guys knew him. They knew exactly who he was. They were astonished at him then, and they're astonished at him now. They don't know what to do with him. And he's still in there talking to them. They say to him, by what authority do you do these things? Well, then and then they reasoned. He said what he said to them. They reasoned with themselves and we cannot tell. Well, you can't talk to God with reason. Now, the scripture says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. It didn't say, come, gather together and reason. No, he said, you come reason with me. You come talk to me. And I will teach you certain things. We'll reason together. But if you're trying to reason without him, you're going to miss it 100% of the time. Amen. And there are whole denominations based on that, come, let us reason together. And they say, come, let us reason together, but they don't invite God. So you got a lot of theological reasoning going on, and you get the least bit spiritual, and they'll reasonably kick you right out the congregation. I had a fellow that belonged to a congregation like that, and I'm not putting anybody down, you understand? I'm not criticizing. I'm just showing you what their problem was, and we don't want to get in that same thing. He said, Copeland, for 20 years, I was a member in good standing, and he said, I was an alcoholic and a known wife beater. Everybody in that church knew I beat up on my wife and I was an alcoholic. He said, I was a member in good standing for 20 years. He said, I got born again. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. He said, I heard you preach that we've been made the righteousness of God. And he said, I got excited on that. And I went around telling them people, well, I've been made the righteousness of God. He said, Doc, they kicked me out in 90 days. And he's laughing. He said, oh, God bless him. He said, that righteousness they can't take. He said, beating your wife ain't no big deal, but righteousness, we can't have that. Oh, man. Reasoning will reason you out of faith, because faith is in one place and reason is in another. Now, go down to chapter 12. And he began to speak unto them in parables. And he's talking to them. He's still in the temple. And he came on down. They sought to lay hands on him, lay hold on him, but they feared the people. And so forth and so on. They sent unto him certain Pharisees and Herodians to catch him in his words. All of this is still in the temple in the same mission that's been going on now for 3 days. Now, he comes on down. Then he's still preaching. He's still teaching. Now look at the top of the 13th chapter. As he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said, Master, see what manner of stones, what buildings there are here. And Jesus began to teach them about the temple. My, my, my. He's on a mission. He knew the plan. He stayed with it. One step at a time. Always perfectly planned. Perfectly executed, perfectly stood, perfectly won the battle at all times, never looking to the right hand or to the left. Isn't that amazing? My, 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 my God. You got time for one more? Well, if you don't, well, you know, we'll pause for 30 seconds and you can go home. But we need very much to bring this down to our place. Every step has been planned by God. And he's here to lead us. He is here to guide us. And we need to be completely, totally in his hands and be determined to be obedient. And the moment we find out that we've missed it and gone, just rejoice and say, Lord, you know, I confess the things of sin. Glory to God. I receive my forgiveness. Let's just keep going now. Get back on the plan. Let's keep going. You don't get all disturbed and under condemnation about it. No, you just begin to say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Your will be done. Your plan be done. I had him ask me one time. He said, do you believe I could take you from where you are right now and put you right back in my perfect will? I said, I know you could. He said, then why are you so agitated about it? He said, you keep trying to figure out how you can get back over and get where you missed it. He said, I've already shown you where you missed it. Just repent of the thing and just go on from where you are now. He said, every time you think about everything not being just exactly right, he said, every time you think about it, just stop and say it out loud. Lord, your will be done. Hallelujah. I thank God your will be done. Your will be done. He said, you just keep confessing that. And he said, I will take you right now and where you are now, and I will maneuver you right on back into the full track, and you won't lose anything. You won't miss a beat. But he said, if you get under condemnation about it and you get worrying and straggling around with the thing, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. He said, that's when you need to depend on my grace. He said, I've forgiven you for it. I'm not beating you over the head. You're beating you over the head. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Amen. Now then, it is thank you, Jesus. Pray in the Spirit here with me just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, you're there in the book of Mark. Let's go back over to the first chapter. Here's what the Lord wanted me to show you. Verse 35, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus went out and departed unto a solitary place, and he prayed. Simon and they that were with him followed after him, and when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for you. I mean, they had had an outstanding outpouring of the Holy Ghost over the last several hours. I mean, stirred that whole town. The whole city was at Peter's back door over this thing, particularly after Peter's mother had gotten healed. Well, they wanted to go on with the meeting. I probably would have too. And we'd have missed it. Listen to what he said. Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Now that is his mission. He knows what his mission is. Therefore he came forth. Now he's out there praying. Now notice this. He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said to him, I will, be thou clean. Now listen. Listen to this. Listen very, very carefully to this. When Jesus was praying a great while before day, the Holy Ghost revealed to him that there was a leper coming and that this man had a calling on him and God had a plan for him. Now notice it. Immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Now look at the 43rd verse. And Jesus straightly charged him forthwith and sent him away. He charged him and he sent him. This man had an apostolic calling on him right then. He was a sent one with a mission. He charged him with his mission and said, you see to it that you say nothing to any man. Listen how exact these directions are. There ain't nothing about this you couldn't understand. See to it that you say nothing to any man. Go your way. God had cleared the way for him. Go your way. Show yourself to the priest. Offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. That is a specific charge, a specific calling. And he said, you don't talk to anybody. You go right straight to those priests. You go your way. And he told him exactly what to do. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded. An exact calling, an exact mission. So obviously God had revealed to him that this leper was coming and that he had a plan and he was in God's plan and he had a mission for him and he straightly charged him. That means that he anointed him to go do it. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the cities. Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. This guy got out of his own calling. He disobeyed Jesus just blatantly. He didn't do one thing Jesus told him to do, and he did exactly the thing he told him not to do. And he created such a stir, and he stirred up so much stuff that Jesus was unable to fulfill his calling. Now, I'm telling you, that's serious business. And the church has been guilty of that more than we've not. Making our plans, going and doing what we're going to do, blah, 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 blah. Instead of finding out what his plan is. Amen. That is so startling to me. I asked one preacher about this back in the early days when I was first finding out about some of these things. I said, why do you think he did that? See, I thought it was a wonderful thing that he stirred up such a crowd because I couldn't figure out how to get a crowd under any circumstance. I thought that was a wonderful thing, and so did he, the man I was talking to. He said, well, you see, Jesus just used kind of reverse psychology on him, knowing that, you know, I thought, B-U-L-L bull. Oh. Look at this. This is a serious calling. Yes, this is a serious charge. He told him exactly what not to do, and he told him exactly what to do, and he told him exactly what to say when he got there. You go take those commandments that Moses... Jesus, because the man wouldn't do it, then Jesus was accused of condemning the law of Moses. Yeah. And he said, no, I came to fulfill it, not to condemn it. That's serious business. And we're changing our ways. This group here, I'll tell you what, we're changing. We're changing the way we do business in the kingdom of God. When the king of the kingdom, the king and the domain over which he is king is the kingdom. Dom means domain. That's the reason Jesus said the kingdom is in your heart. Well, yeah, if he's king of your heart and he's king of mine, when he says you go there, I go there. And he says you do this, I do this. When he says say this, I say that. And over a long period of time, I learned to quit adding anything to it. Amen. Because his words are power. His deeds are power. I'm standing in a little meeting one night, I'm preaching. And the word of the Lord came to me. And he said, see that man in the back there? I said, yeah. He said, call him up here. I'm going to heal him. And when he gets up here, you hit him in the stomach as hard as you can. So I just went on, you know, what I'm doing. I just went on like... And directly he arrested me and stopped me. He said, see that man back there in the back? I said, yeah. Now, I wasn't saying this out loud. This conversation was going on the inside. I said, yeah. He said, call him up here. I want to heal him. And when he gets up here, hit him in the stomach as hard as you can. Well, I just went on about, you know, what I've done. And a little bit later, he said, see that man? I said, yeah, I know. You want to heal him. You want me to hit him in the stomach. He said, well, do it. I said, no. He said, why not? I said, I don't want to. There's no use of you giving the Lord a bunch of line of junk. He already knows in and out. Sure ain't no use you lying to him. He's not going to get anywhere with that. I tried that too, but I don't work. Oh, no. Not recently. And he stopped me again. He said, and I said, yeah, okay. All right, I'll do it. Because this time he said, he's not going to get healed unless you obey me. And he said, if he doesn't, I'm going to hold you responsible for it. I said, okay. Sir, you in the back? Yeah. I said, the Lord wants to heal you. Come up here. I thought, oh, God. Lord, I don't want to do this. And here he come, big smile on his face. I didn't want to do that. But you have to do it. Amen. And he got up there to me, and I just unloaded on him. Boy, I mean, he doubled up and fell over. Man, he just fell on the floor. I didn't know. I didn't like this at all. But his eyes popped open. He went, my God, I'm healed. And he jumped up out of the floor and started dancing around. Of course, I was glad to dance with him when he got man, oh, man. Now, I could have really fouled that deal up by being disobedient there. Amen. That'd be bad business to do that. Hallelujah. We're learning, aren't we? Isn't he gracious? Isn't he lovely and wonderful to put up with the likes of you and me all these years? But listen, we don't look to him like we look to us. We don't look like just strange and weird dum-dums and, you know, that you don't know sick 'em from come on. I mean, we don't look like that to him. In his eyes is compassion and love beyond words. And he knows who you are. And you know, he's not looking at the next 35, 40 years, 50 years with you. No, no, no. He's looking at eternity. He sees you 1,000 years from the day, strong and high and lifted up and sitting on top of your mountain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he's just working and maneuvering you now. Because listen, I'm telling you, there's never been anything like the body of Christ on this earth, and there never will be anything like it again.
Amen.
Jesus said so. And when the time comes, well, and the resurrection comes, and these glorified bodies, praise God, listen, there will always be natural born people. And we're the glorified ones. And we're the only ones that will ever be like him in his glorification. You talk about special. Oh, what has he done for us? This little old bitty time here on the earth, this is the shortest time of your life that it will ever exist. You look back on it and think, dear Lord, 120 years, what was that? Amen, now we got 120,000 we're working on. But for eternity to come, you'll be walking down the streets of glory, and you'll hear someone say, hey, there's one of them. There's one of the glorified ones. Look at them. Look at them. Oh, don't you wish you was one of them? Oh, wouldn't it have been wonderful to have lived back there where you could have fought battles and won victories for the Lord God and been strong warriors and champions? Look at those scars on his back. Look at the, look at him. Look at her. Look at her. Oh, the glorified. Oh my, they fought demons from hell. Can you imagine that? And then the other one say, no, I can't imagine that. And they'll stop you and say, hey, tell us about whipping a demon. What was it like to do? What was it like to have the Lord? Oh, tell us about it. Tell us about it. What was it like walking through the earth, standing on the majesty of his word? Hearing the voice of God in the middle of all of that turmoil. What was it like, O glorified one? Tell us. tell us. And knowing you and me, we'll tell them. Yeah, and give Jesus all the glory. And say, when he walks in the room next time, darling, take a look at him. He's the one that got us through hell. He's the one that got us through all of that mess back there in those gone, far gone days, and brought us into this glory. Oh, hallelujah. And they'll all break out in praise and worship, and you and I'll show them what dance is all about. Glory. Did you get anything tonight? Let's stand and give the Lord praise. Hallelujah.